We're on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, three lines down from the top. Omer of Yehuda Meshmuel, Mechayev Hoy Rabbi Meir, Af Bemotzi, excuse me, Chita Achas Lizriah. So he takes out a single kernel of wheat and he wants to plant it. He's going to be Chayev for that single kernel. And that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Pshita. What's the Chiddush? Kol Shu Tnan. It says in our Mishnah, which apparently reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, because Tam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that if one intends to plant something, he's Chayef for carrying any amount of Kol Shu. And Kol Shu would mean, in this case, one single seed. Ma'al detem, I would have thought, if not for Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, kol shu, lafuke migro geres, the word kol shu, the phrase here, doesn't mean any amount without a minimum. It means that you don't need a full shear that's normal for hotza of a grogeres, a dried fig. Li'olam adika kizayis. Kizayis is smaller than a grogeres, but maybe that would be enough. But you'd still require, in order to be chayev, at least a minimum of an olive's worth. Now, as far as in general, when we talk about carrying food, the minimum requirement is that of a grogeres. Maybe what our Mishnah says, that when he's chayev for kol shu, it doesn't mean literally that he's chai for any amount, but rather it means to exclude that standard requirement, the shear of a dried fig, which is the unique shear of Hotzah Shabbos with regard to Ochlin. But we should bring it down to another shear, which is common in the Torah, and that's a kizayis. Kamashmullah, know that even one seed is considered chashmanah for which you're chai. That's what Shmuel wants to teach us. Now, our Mishnah assumes that if a person gives a certain chashivus to a very small minority, a very small quality of something, because he has a particular intention to use that small quality, he becomes chayef hotzah. And the Gemara now has a suffix whether or not that's really, really true. Let me just point out, before we get to the Gemara's questioning of that principle, we wanted to question this principle that you might be chayev for certain seeds if you carry a kizayis worth. That seems to be against a Mishnah back on Daf Tzadi, where the Mishnah says that you chayev either for carrying two seeds or five seeds. In any event, it's certainly a lot less than a kizayis worth. But getting back to our Gemara that questions the premise that it depends on your intention. Maskifla, Rav Yitzhak, Bered, Rav Yehuda, Elamei Ata, Chishev, Lahotzi, Kol Beso, Hachinami, Dol Mechaiva, Demafik, Lekule. To what extent are you going to put a certain significance halachically on his intention? Are you going to tell me that his intention was to take everything out of his house at one shot, so he's not going to be chayev until he takes everything out of his house? That doesn't seem like a reasonable position. So our answer is, Hassan Butler, Daito Etzel Kol Adam. No one, in general, would say that he wants to take out everything in his house. Therefore, we have a principle called Butler, Daito Etzel Kol Adam. We don't consider somebody's intentions which are against the common consensus of people. In a case where the seed is meaningful for him because he wants to plant it, that's something that anyone could appreciate. And that's already something that we can call objective, and it's Daito Etzel Kol Adam. Now, if you have, for example, half of a house, let's say you wanted to take out X number of pieces of furniture, maybe you want to move, or you're selling them, that's something that is a perspective that could be objective, it could be accepted by other people, and there would be a consensus if you were, if you were moving apartments or whatever the situation might be. You might want to take out a lot out of your house. Maybe, something like emptying your whole house, that's not, consent, that's butler daito, but there might be, different levels. At what point do you say that this is his intention. He wants to take out X number of pieces, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv until he takes out those X number of pieces. It's not an anomaly, and we're not talking about someone who's, so to speak, off the beaten path. You know, in the case of a seed, you would say that it's reasonable to take out one seed if you want to plant one seed. In a case where people want to take out certain quantities or items from their house under certain situations, that's also reasonable. And it's not an anomaly. So at what point do you say that we should adjust the shear based on what his needs and his intentions are? That's not clear. The Chol Adam, the Mishnah says that other people, Ein Chayov Nolav El Kishi Uro, in other words, if somebody did not express his specific intention by being Matzniah, something that is less than the shear, then we go back for everyone else to the regular shear, which could be a Groger. So basically our Mishnah is saying that a person who stores something that's not usually fit for use, but for him it's fit for use, then he's mechayev even for that minute quality, because that for him has chashivus. If another person would take out that same exact object, which is again a very minute quantity, he would not be chayev because he wasn't matzniah. He didn't demonstrate that he wants and needs that minute quantity. The Gemara says, Masnisin de loker of Shimon ben Elazar. The son, you have a brisa klal om Reb Shimon Elazar. Kol she'eno kosher latznia is v'ein matznia kamo v'huksha loze v'hitznia u'ba'acher v'otzio nischayev ze v'machshavto shol ze. According to the brisa recording the shita of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, if one person has an intention, again, if something is not fit for storage for anybody, That's not on the radar screen. But if it's huksha lezeh for one particular person, it has a purpose. You know, he intends to plant this one seed or whatever it might be, and he places it in a storage situation. Now somebody else carries it out, then that somebody else will call him Shimon as Michayev because of the intention, or shall we say the machshava of Reuven when he put it away and he stored it. And that's the shita of Shimon Ben Elazar explicitly. That's a very fascinating shita. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Hotzi Kigrogeres Leachila, right, he took some sort of food that he wants to eat, and it has the size of a grogeris, a dried fig, and he took it out in the public area, in the restaurant around for the purpose of eating it there. Then Then he changes his mind, he decides he wants to use it as a seed, and he wants to plant it. So we have something that could be eaten as is, and something that at the same time, instead of eating it, he can use to plant it. Inami Lizriel, let's take the opposite case, the flip side. He initially intended to plant it, and then he changed his mind, he wants to eat it. So Rav Nachman says in both cases, Chayef. He's Chayef Otzah. And the Gemara asks Pshita, I mean, what's the Chiddush over here? Zil Hacha Ikashira, Vizil Hacha Ikashira. In other words, whether or not he, at the end of the day, eats it, or whether or not he plants it, in both cases, it has the same shear. So what's the difference here? Well, what would be the havmin to say that he's not chayev in these cases? Now, let's just point out the following. When we talk about planting, then we say it's a culture, the most minutest amount. When we say it's for food, for eating, then he's not chayev unless he takes out and he carries a shkugogeres worth. So what does Gemara mean here, zil hochi kashu, zil hochi kashu, no matter what he ends and taught? But the case of Rav Nachman is a case where mimonav shach. he's satisfied to eat it, even though it's a minute shear, and he's certainly satisfied to plant it if it's a minute shear. So on the both cases, whether he plants it or eats it, he should be chayav kashir, and that's pshita. Mao the same I might have thought, if not for Rav Nachman, be'inon akir v'anoch b'chada machshava v'hol leka. In Otso we have two parts, bookends. The beginning is the Akira, you pick up the Chafetz, and the end of the Malacha terminates with Hanoch, with putting it down. There has to be some sort of a tziruf between the Tchila, which is the Akira, and the Sof, which is the Hanoch. Here we're missing that kind of tziruf, because when he picked it up and he did the Akira, he had in mind to eat it, and then he changed his mind and he did his Ria, or he intends to do his Ria, vice versa. Kamash Malan, this is what Rav Nachman wants to teach us, that you can integrate the Akira and Anocha into one Maisa Hotzah, even though there's a different intention in the Akira and in the Hotzah and in the Anocha. Boy, Rava raises the following suffix: Hotzi Chatzi Grogeres Lizria. He had the initial intention to plant half of a grogeris worth of seeds. V'tofcha v'nimlach olel achila. Somehow the produce swelled. It has a very large volume now. And that volume is that of a full grogeris. But his hotzah was only on a chatzi grogeris. Now nimlach olel lachila, he sees that it's swelled, so it's a larger volume. He says, why should I plant it? I'm going to eat it. Mau, would he be chayv for this hotzah? At the time of the Akira, he only did an Akira on a chatzi grogeris, because at that time his intention was not to eat it, but rather to plant it. Now he changes his mind and he wants to eat it. In Tim Salom, if you're going to say Hasam Hu Demachayev, in Rav Nachman's case, you could be Mitzarif the Akiru with Anocha, Dezil Hacha Kashira, Zil Hacha Kashira. Whether you say that he intends to eat it or he intends to plant it, it has the same exact shear, but Hacha. In this case, the Be'idin of the Afka, when he picked it up and he went out with it, lo havi be'shir achila, and therefore lo machayev. So as far as Rav Nachman's case is concerned, the Akira was a large enough Akira to satisfy the requirement of the intention for the transfer. And even though it was at a different intention at the end, but still it's the same shear. So we can consider the Akira as related to the later intention when he changed his mind. But in a case where the Akira was half a grogeres, and at this point, for the sake of Achila, he would not be chayev, how could that be mitztarif with the Anocha on a full shear for Achila? Now, honestly, I'm not sure I understand what the hav mean is that he should be chayv. Let's read the next piece of Gemara. Oh, Dilma, what's the hav mean to say that maybe he's chayv in Rava's frame of reference? Kevon de ilu ishtik velo choshev ale is mechayv a machshav de zriya hashtunami mechayv. In other words, if he didn't have a new intention before he did the Hanocha, let's say he remained silent and he stuck to his guns, then he would be chayev based on the machshava of Zriya, because he intended to plant it. Hashtanami machayev. So that even though now, when he changes his mind, decides to eat it and not plant it, and if this be the case, then for eating he didn't take out a shear, but nevertheless he did have a shear based on his original machshava, because his original machshava, his intention was to plant it, and planting a half of a grogeres is enough to satisfy the shear of hotzah. So he had an akira machayeves. From the perspective of his final decision at the time of Hanocha, his original akira was not an akira machayeves. So one side is to say, well, we cannot integrate the machshava b'shas Hanocha with the akira, because from the perspective of the Hanocha, he did not carry out a shir, because he only has a chatzi grogeres. I mean, now he got lucky because of Tavcha, but so we have to take his final intention b'shas Hanocha and determine whether Akira was an Akira Machayevis or not. It can't be an Akira Machayevis from the perspective of his initial Machshava. But on the other hand, it's sad to say that he's Chayev in this case, and we can integrate the Akira with Hanocha, is because the Akira had a shear of Chiyuv. Why? Because his intention was for planting. So again, if you take his self Machshava and go back to his original Akira, then you're in trouble, because his Sof Machshava was for Achila, and his Akira was not, and in his moment, in his glorious moment of Akira, was not an Akira for Achila of a Kishir, because it was before Tavcha, and all he was Okir was a Chatzi Grogeres. But if I take the perspective of, do I have an Akira Mechayeves, the answer is yes, because at the moment of Akira, when he intended to plant it, the Chatzi Grogeres was a Shir. And at the moment of Hanocha, when he intends to eat it, once again he has the shear of a grogeres. The intim tzolomar came unto ilu ishtik velo choshev alei mechayev amachshavad izriya. We can say that as far as the akira is concerned, if we freeze that frame of akira with his machshav izriya, he would certainly have been chayev because of his machsheves zriya, his intention to plant. And therefore, hashtinami chayev. So too now, when he does hanocha for the purpose of achila, and he has a full shir grogeres, therefore he's chayev. Is now we're ready for a second question. Hotzi ki grogeres lachila. What happens if he took out a quantity of produce which was a full grogeres worth for the sake of achila v'tzomka? This is the opposite case, and now midway it shrank. Honey, I shrank the kids. But now he decides, well, it's still perfect for planting. Mahu. Hacha, in this case, says Rava, you might argue that vadai ki ishtik amachshava kamaisa lo machayev. If he did not change his mind to decide to plant the seeds, but he continued with his original machshava, his original intention was to eat it, right? It was a full grogeres worth, and his intention was to eat it. So that full intention would not in any way link up with the final hanocha. Why? Because the final hanocha was for the sake of Zriya. For the sake of Zriya. So Rava's argument is not that we're going to take his machshava basof, his change in his intention, and go back to the Akira and undermine that Akira. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to only use his intention l'basof at the time of the Hanocha to determine the object which he carried. In other words, the object on which he was oker. Now, obviously it's not the same exact object because the volume has changed. It was tzomka. But the point is that if we take his machshava at the time of Akira, that hotzah for the sake of Achila would not be a hotzah mechayeves when he actually does the Hanocha. That Hanocha could not clinch his chiv because tzomka. And in the middle, it's no longer a grogeres worth of ochel, right? It was tzomka. I mean, it's fine for zriya, but it's now tzomka, and it's no longer the size of a grogeres. So if we go basa his original machshava, then that original machshava b'shas akira as a machshava sachila would not in any way link up with Hanocha if he hadn't changed his mind, because Hanocha was not on a grogeres worth. So if you want that Akira to end up and culminate in a Chiv, you've got to have a grogeres, which he doesn't have because it's Tzomka. Odilma, what's the time to say that maybe he is Chayiv Basar Hashtaz Linon? Let's look at his intention now. And his intention now is for the sake of Zriya, and now he has enough for Zriya. So there's enough for Shia to be minimum Shia to be Mechayiv for Zriya. And therefore we can say the following, that both the Akira and the Anocha have a Machsheva Mechayeves. The Akira has a Machsheva Mechayeves insofar as he was Oker a full Grogeres worth for the sake of Achila. And the Anocha is Anocha Mechayeves because he now intends to plant the seeds. So even though it's Nitztamik, and it's less than a shear of grogeres, which would not be enough for a machsheves achila, but the time of the Anochi has a machsheves zriya, an intention to plant it, and therefore machayev should be chayev. Now Rava goes one step beyond this. It's a brilliant v'imtim tzolomar. And if you can say basar hashtaz linon umachayev, that just like he had a machshava machayevus at the time that Akira for Achil and he had a grogeres, now he has a machshava machayevus at the time of Hanocha because he intends to plant these seeds, so that even though it's tzomka, he has enough seeds to plant and he's chay for that machshava, for that maisa Hanocha of a Hanocha chashuva, is hotzi grogeres lachila. Let's say his original intention, once again, at the time of the Akira was for the sake of Achila, and he has a full grogeres. Vitzomka, now it shrank in size, and then Chazer of Tofcha, Mao. What's the din here? Because at the moment of Tzomka, if he changes his mind and he intends to use it as a seed and plant it, then we're saying Basar Hashtaz Lini would be Chayiv. But the problem that exists is that it was Chazra V'Tofcha, once again swelled up again. And at the time of the Anocha, it was the size of a Grogeres Mahu. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this suffix of Rava. So again, if the person would have placed this item down when it was shrunk, he would be... If at the time of the Anocha it was shrunk, I'm going to add my own comment over here, because I think to get us straight, Lefiani is Daiti, we have to point out that in this case, although the size of the foodstuff changed, it shrunk, and not only that, it changed twice because it was Chazer V'Tavcha, and it got fat again, it swelled up again. I think his intention was always the same. He never changed his original intention. In the other cases, you'll notice that we talk about Basar Hashta, we talk about Nimlach, we go Basar his original Kavon, his original intention, now his intention, and can we mitzarev? That's not relevant to this particular suffix. What we're saying is that he had one continuous intention for Achila. And from the perspective of both the Akira and the Anocha, he has a full grogeres. From the perspective of Akira, he has a grogeres because that was the size at the time of the Akira and he intended to eat it. And now that it was Chazer V'Tofcha at the time of the Anocha, once again, it's got the full edible shear of a grogeres. The suffek here of Rava is because there was a moment of time of tzomka, and that maybe breaks up the tzirah between the akira and the anocha. Why? Because since we're talking about a hotzol l'shem achila, and you need a grogeres, once it was tzomka, then at some point during the transfer of this object from one rishus to the other, it was no longer subject to a chiyuv chatos and a violation of meleches hotzah because it was less than a gogeres. And Rav analyzes the suffix. He says, Yesh dichulin Shabbos o ein dichulin Shabbos. Is there a negation, which means that since at one moment in time he could not be chay for this hotzah, and the reason for that is because of tzomka, should that undermine the tziruf between the akira and the anocha? And that would be basically saying that the akira is not a valid akira in order to generate a chiyuv for a hotzah. That would be considered dichui le'inyan Shabbos. And the final conclusion is teku. And we don't really have a final pshitus. I would assume that the general rule is that all sveikas up to the final one, all the boilahus, we assume whatever imtip tzolomar he puts in, that's the way he logically accepts it. But in the last case, he doesn't have any hachro whatsoever. There's no imtip tzolomar, it's pure teku. Boy minei rover of Nachman, Zora kizayis truma lebayis tomi mahu. He threw an olive's worth of truma into a base, into a house that's tomi. Let's say there was a corpse in the house. So lamai, I mean, what exactly is Rava asking over here? Elin in Shabbos, if it's a case in which he throws this truma from a rishus harabim into a house that's tomei, is kigro geres be'inon, a kizayis is not enough, because in general the shir of hotzah in Ochlin to be mechayivim a chatas for hotzah is always kigro geres, and a kizayis is less than a grogeres. So why would Rav vacillate about such a question? And again, we're assuming that we're talking about a case where he's throwing a zayis that he wants to eat. Ilin yituma again. What's the suffix? Beitza beochlin and beina the shear of ochlin. As far as Kabbalah's tumah is concerned, is a beitza and an olive, which he, right, he has a kizayis of truma. That's less than a kibetza. And for sure he's not chayev. So in Marav Shach he's not chayev. In Hilchas Shabbos he's not chayev because we need a shear of grogeres and a zayis is less than a grogeres. As far as tumah is concerned, he's certainly not tomei because we need the shear of tumah which is kibetza and a grogeres is less than, I'm sorry, a zayis is less than a kibetza. So Gemara says, Leon Linyan Shabbos, Rava's suffix was with regard to Shabbos. Kigon, in a case, the Ika Pochos Mikibetza Ochlin. We're talking about a case where the amount of food that he had was Pochos Mikibetza. In other words, let's say there already was food, some food in the house, in this house that has a corpse in it, but the volume of that food is less than a kibetz, and we said that the minimum shear for tumas ochlin in an ol shel mes has to be a kibetz. He has less than a kibetz of a high, but now he throws into the house mashlimo lebetza. He now completes the shear of a kibetz. If you add that which is already in the house with that which he's throwing into the house, then at the end of the day you have a kibetz. So we want to know what's going to be the din as far as Shabbos is concerned. Then we'll try to figure out what's the din as far as Tumah. My. Here's the suffix of Rav. Mide mitzaref le'inyan Tumah. Since as far as Tumah is concerned, we take the two half of kibetzes and we integrate them together. And we have a consolidated mass of food which can receive tumah. and therefore we're going to integrate the two halves of a kibetza into one, is therefore machayev nami linyan Shabbos. This is called a like mitoch kind of halacha, like we have, for example, in Sukkah, that if you have machitzos that are valid linyan Sukkah, the mele they're valid linyan Shabbos. Here also you have a tzir of shir in order to get a shir of kibetza, and that's enough for the shir of Kabbalah's Tumah. Once you can be mitzarif that for Tumah, then we'll be mitzarif that as far as Shabbos is concerned as well. And he now has the full shir of Hotzah b'Shabbos. Odilma kol le'inyan Shabbos ki gro geres b'inon. When we're talking about Shabbos, the volume for the chi of Hotzah in Ochlin always has to be, that's an absolute ironclad rule, it has to be a grogeres. And here the person threw less than a grogeres. He only threw a kizayis. So again, what was the first tzad in Rava's Safek? We're going to apply some sort of mitoch that since he's chayev le'inyan, it's tomei le'inyan tumah, we have at tziruf, then we'll apply that tziruf even as far as Shabbos is concerned. I'm not sure exactly what the relevance is of the fact that this food was truma. Any chulin would also be subject to tumah of mess in an oil. I don't know if we're dealing with this kind of migu, this mitoch. I don't know if it makes any difference if it's true or not. And the truth is that when Rashi goes through this Gemara, he barely mentions the word truma here. So I don't know if there's any possible girsa issue about the word truma. In any event, Omar Leis, Rav Nachman responded to Rav's question, Tinisuha, that we can derive your conclusion from a brisa. The brisa records Abba Shol Omer Shtei Halechem V'lechem Aponim Shi'uron Kigrogeres. So we're talking about two mitzvahs that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, both of which requires a minimum shir Egrogeres. One is the Shtei Halechem, and that's the Iker Karbon on Chag HaShavuos, and the other is the Lechem Aponim that was set up on the Shulchan on a weekly basis. And their required amount, their volume, is a grogeres, as we said, a dried fig. Fine. So now Rav Nachman analyzes this price. He says, Vamai. Why is it that we should require this volume of kigrogeres in both these cases? Lema, should we say that mida le'inyan? Here we're turning to Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Yotze. We have a psul of yotze. If something was taken, some kodesh was taken out of the azara, and it's bekizayis. And as far as the psul yotze is concerned, let's say, for example, chatas and ashim, which are kodshi kodshim, and for that, from that perspective, the lechem aponim and the shtel lechem are only fit for mizbeach if they are confined and they never leave the confines of the azara. And if they are yotze, they were taken out of the azara, they are posel. And if that be the case, le'inyan Shabbos nami b'kizayis, we begin to understand that the shir, as far as Shabbos is concerned, if he carries these objects, would also be a kizayis. So if he takes, for example, the shtei lechem out of the azara, he passes it with a kizayis, then as far as Shabbos is concerned, he'll also be chayv hotzah with a kizayis. Now the Braisa rejects this. The Braisa maintains that in both cases, the shiur of hotzah is going to be a grogeres. Why not apply the shiur of kizayis, which is the shiur as far as yotze is concerned? So obviously, Bryce rejects this kind of mitoch. You know, we're not going to say that just because there's a significant amount of shtel lechem and lechem aponim of a kizayis, therefore you be chayv hotzah Shabbos in a kizayis. The shear of hotzah Shabbos is a kugogeres when it comes to ochlin. We're not going to borrow some sort of application of chashivas from another area, let's say from Migdash. And therefore, Rav Nachman believes that likewise, we're not going to say that Yechayev on Shabbos for Hotzah simply because there's a tziruf of two halves of a beitzah in Hilchas Tumah. And now the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, there's no proof from the case of Shteil Lechem and Lechem Apanim Hasam over there. Mida Afke Chutz Lechomas Azara. If he takes this Lechem outside of the walls of the Azara, if Sole Biyotze, it becomes Possel. Because of the Psul of Yotze, and a Shabbos lo mechayev. There's no reason why I should say he's chayev for Tzah Shabbos based on the Psul of Yotze Ademapik Le'lishus HaRabim. No, if he takes this loaf of bread from the Azara all the way to Rishus HaRabim, then there's no logical reason why he should be chayev. Now, of course, the Rishus HaRabim is outside not only just the Azor, but the entire Beis HaMikdash. And the Lechem really becomes possible the very moment that he takes him out of the Azor, well before the Chiyu for Hotzos Shabbos into Rishus HaRabim. So we begin to understand that the disqualification of the Shteil Lechem, it has no bearing on the significance of Hilchas Shabbos, because, you know, from the moment he passed the Shteil Lechem, he took the Shteil Lechem out of the Azara, and it's a Psul Yotze. At that point, it's Kodshim Psul. It's all like Chul. So now the Hotzah into Rishus HaRabim has to be a Shir of Hotzah and Rishus HaRabim. The fact that, you know, at some point in time there was a shir and a chashivas to the kezayis, that becomes irrelevant. But hacha, in the case where he throws food into a bias of a mess, as far as tumah is concerned, is Shabbos v'tumah v'hadi adodika. See, here's the simultaneity. In other words, the violation of Shabbos and the contraction of tumah are both at the very same moment when he takes this kibbetz's worth, or I should say half of a kibbetz's worth, and he throws it into the bias. Again, whether it's true or chulin, as I said before, I don't think is relevant, but he throws he's standing, let's say, to Rishus HaRabim, and he throws a kezayis worth of ochlin into a bias that has tumah in it. Well, the very moment it lands in the bias, he's chayav for Otsa because he took it from Rishus HaRabim and it landed in Rishus HaYachid. And that moment, it contracts tumah. So perhaps the simultaneity here in time is what should set off this mitoch kind of halacha. And since there's a tzira for the two chatzi beitzes, as far as tumah is concerned, that should give it a chashivas even as far as Otsa Shabbos is concerned. And therefore, the Gemara is going back to the original suffix of Rava and justifying that suffix and saying it's not resolved by your comparison to the, by Rav Nachman's comparison to the Braisa of a Kezayis in Shteil Lechem. And therefore, we really don't know the answer to this question. Now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Chazar v'chniso. So a person had, he was matznia, a seed, and he carried it out into Rishus HaRabim, but then he decides that he's not going to use it for planting. So he changed his mind, and therefore the Mishnah paskins, Eino chayev ela bishiuro. He's not going to be chayev for the shear of planting because he had changed his mind. So at the moment that he turned around and faced, you know, headed home with this seed, that can't be a hotzah hamachayevis because it's less than a shear of grogeres. And he intends full intention to eat it pshita What was the Hava Mina? If he decided not to plant this seed, then we have to consider this Hotzah as a classic Hotzah of Ochlin, and he's going to require the shear not of one seed, but rather of a Grogeres. Amar Abai Ochmai Skina, what's the scenario in the Mishnah? Kigon Shezroko Li Otsar. In other words, he never really said he's changing his mind, right? He initially had in mind to plant this seed. Now he throws it Li Otsar. In other words, he puts the seed back into storehouse from where he started. Makomo Nikar. And now we can, we can pinpoint exactly where it is in the storehouse. It has a recognizable place. Mal detem, I might think in the Hava, meaning before the mission, cave in the Makomo Nikar is bemilsei kamay sakai. We should say that he replaced the seed and put it back into the storehouse in a very distinct position, and that was, in a sense, a, what shall I say, bemilsei kamay sakai. It's sort of creates or rededicates his original machshava. Is therefore I would think that in such a case it'd be chayav even for one seed, and it retains its original status through the hatzna kamash malon. Since he threw the seed back into the storehouse, and that's where he keeps all his other food, is bitule batle. The original machshava is completely null and void. So again, in the Havamina, we thought that maybe this situation, where he has a special place in the storehouse for the seed, that itself indicates that he didn't rescind his original machshava when he preferred this seed in order to plant it. But the maskana is that although you can nikar bimkoma, you can actually identify that original seed, it stands out in the storehouse, but nevertheless he just threw it there, and he indicated that he's no longer interested in Zriah. So it seems like the Havamina Maskana, the whole Shaka Vitaya, really hinges on what we call Makomo Nikar, and whether or not Makomo Nikar itself should generate sort of Kavanoso Nikaris, meaning the fact that he puts it in a Makom Nikar in the Yotzer, that itself is Vade Kavanoso Lahashir B'Machshav Torishona Batznio. And the Gemara's maskana, based on the Mishnah, is kamash malon, that he throws in the otsar, and that itself sort of undermines and neutralizes the nikar bimkomo, because it's now in a place where he keeps all his food. And the original hatzna, which was l'tzorech zriya, is no longer active. Let's see if we can get at least a jump start on the next Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amin Peis. When a person does an Akira in one Rishus and a Hanoch in another Rishus, he's Chayef. What happens if the process of Akira and Hanocha are is interrupted? Hamotzi Ochlin Unesonam Al Ha'iskupa. So he's carrying food out of his house and he puts them on an iskupa. The iskupa is the threshold when you enter into the house. So he hasn't yet gone out to a public domain and he puts it on the iskupa. The iskupa has the status of a makom ptur. Although it serves the function to adjoin the private domain of his house with the public domain, but it itself has no status, neither as a Rishus HaYochid, nor as a Rishus HaRabin. So if he takes the food from his house and puts it on the eskupa, is Bein Shechazer Otzion, Bein Shehotzion Acher, it matters not whether he changes his mind, and therefore he picks up the food from the eskupa and puts it and takes it out to Rishus HaRabin, or somebody else takes it out of the eskupa, out into the Rishus Rabbim, in any event, the patur, which means that there's no tziruf between the Akira in Rosh Hashanah and the Anocha in Rosh Hashanah, because in between it went through a Makom Ptur. So you're not chayv from Leches Hotzah unless you do an Akira in one Rishus and a Anocha in the other Rishus. But that all has to be in one flowing, continuous action of Hotzah. Here, when he places the object first in Anocha on the Eskupa, before he takes it out into the Shusarabim, he basically has two different Maisim. He's got the Maisa of taking it from Shusayach and putting it on the Eskupa, and that's where he put it down. And he has another Maisa taking it up from the Eskupa and putting it down in Shusarabim. There's no Tzirif, and therefore he's not Chayav. What we'd really like to understand here in this Mishnah is what was the chiddush of the Mishnah when it says Bein Shehotzion Acher. And here we have a comment. He says, move on chiddush atana biofen shehu atzmo chazav hotziyah miskupa. Right, so that makes sense, because even though he does it in two pu'ulos and apvas achas, but nevertheless it was the same person, and maybe we commit tzarif then. But in case of otziyom acher, I mean, that other person picks it up from the eskupa. That's not an akira mechayev. What was the havamin that the Mishnah, the Tana, the Mishnah felt compelled to teach me that even an acher is potol or poshelhu? He didn't do any malacha whatsoever. So in the footnote here, he quotes the Meiri, Kavonas atayna b'zehu b'derech lozu afsu. It goes without saying that em hotzi an acher l'shuram shneim p'turim. And the Mishnah wants to tell you that even in the case where he himself carries it out in these two pulos, he's potter. Now we get to the Sefer of the Mishnah. Kupa shi malea peros. So he picks up this basket that's full of fruits, and he takes it out of Rishus HaYachid. Unasana al eskupa achitzona. Now we have something called an itzdaba. An itzdaba is a kosel namuch, bonoi mi avonavitit. So it's a very small wall. And it's situated milifnei miftan delas habayis. So most of the kupa is yatzal lechutz, right? This kupa that he put it down is outside. However, part of it is left in Rishus HaYochid. It's afal pisha rov haperos. Shebetoch hakupa yatzu mishus HaYochid Rishus HaRavim. Most of the fruits within the the basket are situated outside in Rosh Hashanah and Potter. Nevertheless, he's Potter. Achi Yotzi es kol akupa. Eino chayvelim kein hotzi es kol akupa v'vas achas. In other words, we don't look at the peros, even though he relocated the peros in Rosh Hashanah, but rather we look at the basket, the receptacle that's holding on to the peros, and that hasn't been removed and placed outside of Rishus HaRav. The Gemara says, Hai Iskupa. What is this Iskupa mentioned in the Resha of the Mishnah? My, what is it? Ilema Iskupa Rishus HaRavim. If it has the status of Rishus HaRavim, Potur. How is it possible that if he takes it from Rishus HaYach and puts it down in the Eskupi's potter, HaKamafik, Rishus HaYach, Rishus HaRabin, is a full-fledged Hotzah. Ella, what are you going to tell me, Eskupa is Rishus HaYachid? Is then, how do we understand the Mishnah? It says, Bein Shechazar V'Hotzion, U'Bein Shehotzion Acher, potter. How can he be potter if he takes it from the Eskupa, which we're identifying now as Rishus HaYachid, and takes it out into Rishus HaRabin? Ellis, the Gemara answers, is skupa is a karmelis. A karmelis, it's a drabbanon. It's neither a shesiyach nor a shesaravim. And we're talking about a skupa that has shlosha tfachim. It's less than 9 tfachim. And has the width of arba tfachim. Again, it's you know, this is skupa is a real stair almost, if you know what I mean. Like a staircase. Or at least one stair of a staircase. And we have a gova, we have a height of 3 tfachim. I mean, that itself is like, shall we say, up to his knees. It's a significant height. It's not 9 tfachim. And it's wide by 4 tfachim. And if it would be less than a width of 4 tfachim, it would not be a karmelis, it would be a makom ptur. So as far as the Doraisa is concerned, he doesn't have any violation in putting something down in a skupa. Vaka mashmalan, the Tana felt compelled to tell me that he's potur, and he's being mechadish the following, that taima, the reason why he's potur is the noch bekarmelis, the hanocha was in a karmelis. And it doesn't matter whether the akiru was in rishisiyach or rishisarab. Halo noch bekarmelis, mechayev. If there had not been in a hanoch in the karmelis, he'd be chayev, even though he was mavir in one fell swoop from a shesayot to shesarabim through a karmelis, is he still chayev? And we're not going to apply the principle of Ben Azai. Ben Azai's principle is mahalech keome domi. So if you're carrying something through a karmelis from one rishus to another, according to Ben Azai, you could never be chayev because mahalech keome domi. It's as if he did hanocha in the karmelis. And masnisin delo ki ben azai. Our mission is being mechadish us against ben azai. The sanya we learned in a brisa motzi mechanus leflatya derech satya or derech stov, depending how you pronounce the word. So he starts in a chanus which is rishus hayochid. He goes out to rishus haravim, but he passes through a place where the itztabos, you know, the counters and the sitting places and so forth for the business deals, which is called a karmelis. He never actually stopped in a karmelis, and therefore he's chayim. But Ben Azai says he's potter because mahalich ke'ome domi, and therefore it's as if he put it down in a karmelis, picked it up again from the karmelis. We're talking about anochas gufo ke'anochas chayfetz domi, and therefore it's as if he placed it down in the karmelis. Kupa shehi malea. We said that if it's full of peros, this basket, even though most of the peros are already out in Rishus HaRabim, he's not chayev. Amar Chizkiya lo shanu. This p'tur only applies ela bekupa malea kishuim vidluim avol malea chardol chayev. And this is a lechora pella that Chizkiya says it all depends upon what fruits, what vegetables are inside this basket. And in the case of kishuim and dluim, these are very long, long vegetables, and therefore they will fill up the entire width of the kupa, from one side of the kupa to the other side of the kupa. And therefore, if he hasn't completely removed the kupa out into Rishus HaRabim, then, you know, the kishuim are still considered as if they're in Rishus HaYochid. Because by definition, you know, the one end of the kishuv, the head, we'll call it, is in Rishus HaYoch. Aval, in the case of chardol, we're talking about small seeds, mustard seeds. Here he's going to be chayev, even if he only took part of the kupa out, because as far as these garini chardal are concerned, they are totally in Rishus HaRab. It's the Gemara's Medayik from Chizkiya that Alma we see, Kasavar, Eged, Kli, Loshme, Eged. The fact that all these, in this case mustard seeds, are Mechubar, they're all connected together through one Kli, that's not called a Chibur, that's not called a connection. We see each one of the seeds of the Chardol as a separate independent entity, and if they are befoil, in actuality, in Rishus HaRabim, even though there's some sort of a chibur to Rishus HaYochid through the Kli is not effective to create such a chibur, such that all the grains here, or the or the seeds will be considered as if they're in Rishus HaYochid. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu, even if he takes out the Kupa Malea Chardal, and it's got all these seeds in it, Potur, Alma Kasovar, Agad, Kli, Shmei, or Eged Kli, Shmei, Eged, that the Kli is Mechaber them all together, and even those parts of Chardal, of the mustard seeds, that are actually physically located in Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, since they're in one Kli, then it's considered like they never left the Rishus HaYochid, and the Kli connects them back to the Rishus HaYochid. That's the Chibur of Eged, and Eged, Kli, Shmei, Eged. So he never actually took them out, and therefore he is Potter. Om Rabbi Zera Masnisen Delo Kechizkia Daika. If we're careful about reading a Mishnah, it does not stem with the Shita of Chizkia. And not only that, Delo Kerab Yochanan Daika. It doesn't work out even according to Rabbi Yochanan. So we basically have two kashas here. One kasha that we address from our Mishnah Kechizkia, and another that we address to Rabbi Yochanan. Kechizkia lo daika de ketoni, it says, anshi yotzi es kol hakupa. As if to say that the problem is that he didn't bring out the entire kupa into Rishus HaRabim. Time of the kol hakupa. Ha kol haperos. If let's say part of the kupa was still inside the Rishus HaYochid, but all the peros were in the Rishus HaRabim, which according to Chizkia, logically, since Chizkia holds that Eged Kli, Lav Shmei Eged, would mean that he should certainly be Chayev in this case. And yet, the Mishnah seems to imply Potur, that despite the fact that all the peros are physically located in Rishus HaRabim, he's still part. Alma Kassav, the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Yochanan, that Eged Kli, Shmei, Eged. And the Kli itself now, in a sense, drags all the contents of the Kli, all the peros in the Kli, as if they're mechubra together in the Shus of the Kli. And therefore, against Chizkia, he would be Potter in this case. Because again, Chizkia puts all the emphasis on where is the fruit located. And he said that in the case of the mustard seeds, that since they're located in Rishus HaRabim, they'll be Chayav, disqualifying the Aged Kli. However, the Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Yochanan lo daika, it's just not, doesn't fit with Rabbi Yochanan either. The Ketani, it says in the Mishnah, that the motzi is potter afal pi sherov peros bachutz. It's time with the rov peros. Hakol peros afagav dagida kupa mikavoy chayav. In other words, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though not all the peros are bachutz, but most of the peros bachutz, you're still potter, but implying clearly that if all the peros were bachutz, located in Rishus HaRabim, he'd be chayav. Well, where's the kli? If the kli is still in Rishus HaYochid, then we should apply the principle of Aged Kli Shmei Eged. So, Afal Gavta Agida Kupa Mikavoy, even though the Kupa itself is Bifnim, or at least part of the Kupa is Bifnim, and we would say that that should, according to Rabbi Yochanan, be Ma'aged, it should sew up together into a Chibur all the Peros, yet he's Chayim, Halmakas Sover, we see the Tana holds Eged Kli lo shmei eged. So now we're stuck with an inner contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Elakasha. Now we have two dinim that contradict itself in the Mishnah. Gemara says Chizka mitaris l'taimi, Rabbi Yochanan mitaris l'taimi. Each one is going to explain the Mishnah according to his logic. Chizka mitaris l'taimi. When it says in the Mishnah, he's potter ad sheyotzi es kol hakupa. If that's not an absolute statement, then you have to add Bamed Dvar Mamur and qualify Pekupa, Malea, Kishuim, Vidluit. And since they are very long and they fill the entire Rocha of the Kupa, therefore the Hotzah is not complete as a Malechas Hotzah until he removes the entire Kupa. Aval, but if you had a Kupa that was Malea Chardal and it has very small seeds that are separate, so to speak, and are independent of the kli, because they stick out completely from the kli, no part of it is in the kli, is nasa kmisho tzias kol hakupa v'chaya. Rabbi Yochanan mitaris l'taimei, that when it says in the Mishnah Afal Pi, sherov peros bachutz, he's potter even though most of the fruits are bachutz, implying, as we said before, that if all the peros bachutz, then he be chayav. Velo, not only if it was rov peros bilfad, elafilu kol peros is potter because of eged kli. Achiotzi is called a kupa. He'll only be chayav if he takes the kupa itself out, the entirety of the kupa. So even in the case of a kupa that's full of mustard seeds, as long as there's miktas kli bifnim, he's not going to be chayav. So this is where we're going to stop for now and complete our discussion here on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. And we're up to Mesve in the wide lines. Let's just see where we can make ourselves a Simon Ledavar. Let's see. It lines up before the end of Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis.